prnoticias.com Podcast Onda Mujer. Play.
¿Tienes que preparar una entrevista en inglés? ¿Te vas de vacaciones al extranjero o simplemente necesitas mejorar tu speaking? Lo que necesitas es Milingual.com, una forma diferente de mejorar el inglés. Milingual organiza grupos de conversación reducidos por niveles y en locales de moda de Madrid. Y lo mejor, siempre guiados y corregidos por profesores nativos. Además, incluye una bebida y muchos descuentos especiales. Es muy flexible, por 10 euros, apúntate cuando tú quieras en nuestra plataforma Milingual.
Hello everyone, or bonjour. Welcome to the Women's Radio, a time when we get together to talk about issues that interest women, share experiences, and of course, learn English, or a bit of French, while we do it. Today, here at Onda Mujer Radio, we have Joanna. Joanna is a fellow polyglot who has jumped on the bilingual bandwagon and has joined the teaching crew, bringing back the possibility of practicing French. Ooh la la. French Milinguals are offered on Thursday at Area and on Tuesday at La Bicicleta. We are also pleased to announce that we have another visitor here too. Her name is Noemi. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at Onda Mujer, and Milingual Spain, and Fast and Fluent. That's FastNFluent. So, let's get started. Okay, so Joanna has recently united with Milingual, and we are very excited to have such a new, innovative teacher who has even come up with her own way of learning languages. Joanna knows from first-hand experience the importance of speaking various languages. She's originally from France, but also speaks impeccable English, as you will all hear, and she's learned Spanish very well in her brief time in Spain. She also speaks Hebrew. As a fellow polyglot, I'm eager to hear about all of Joanna's experiences and language tricks. So, Joanna, the curiosity is killing me here. What is language hacking?
Language hacking is a different technique of learning languages. Instead of obeying by the rule of a language, you're going to deduce them and understand them to then be able to learn your language. So in Fast and Fluent, we've created an online learning method using this language hacking technique.
Could you give us an example of how that works or what you mean?
Okay, so we're going to take a language that most people don't know, which is Hebrew, for instance. In Hebrew, a cake is ha'uga, and several cakes are ha'ugot. And so you can hear that. Here, the difference between singular and plural is the a and ot. And in language hacking, what we're going to do is we're going to take 10 different sentences, the equivalent in plural and in singular, and then try to see what's the difference to deduce a grammar rule from that comparison, if I could say. And in Fast and Fluent, we do that for all aspects of a language, but obviously we guide our learners through our videos. We also have a hotline to help them deduce the rules of the language they're trying to learn.
And how did you come up with this interesting phenomenon? How did it start? Are you doing it alone? Where is it based?
Okay, so language hacking has been existing in the United States for quite a while. It started to be known on internet mainly through Anglophone bloggers, I'd say. But in the Francophone area, it's really unknown, and we came up with this idea because my associate, who's called Bertrand Millet, went to Iran and didn't speak a word of Farsi, which is a language over there. But poco a poco, as they say in Spanish, he started to understand what was going on. And he started to learn by deducting what he was hearing and trying to withdraw from the conversations he was hearing how Farsi works. And from his experience, we created the Fast and Fluent method. Obviously, we've tested it on other people. We've had clients' feedback to improve it. But it all started with a guy who went to Iran and didn't understand anything and had no books.
And how did you two meet and come up with this phenomenon and formalize it in a more professional way?
As a lot of businesses, it started because we were friends. I was about to go and live in Algeria, and I had to learn Arabic. And he had this idea in his head, but it wasn't formalized yet. So he said, okay, let's do a thing. I help you with my method to learn a bit of Algerian Arabic. And if you like it, we start formalizing the method. We did so. I went to Algeria. I came back to France. And then we started working on the project, creating it, creating a company, and all the financial and juridical aspects of such a project.
Huh. And who is your average client or student or learner participant?
Mainly, there are people between, I would say, 20 and 35 who work, who learn languages mainly for professional improvement. Most people are learning English, even if it's not all the learners. That being said, we also have like a guy of 13 years old who's trying to learn English also. We have a man of 70 years old who's learning Greek. We have a woman of 60 learning Italian. And strangely or not, actually, the older students are the best.
Huh.
Yeah.
So you can teach an old dog new tricks.
Exactly, you can. I think, so first of all, the method is online and I don't directly teach them. These people follow the videos and the exercises. They have to speak to native people every day because we put them in contact with them. But they get our help when they need. But I think those people are the best learners because they are the most dedicated. They are really motivated and they have time.
Hmm. So people in your method have to be like a beginner. They don't have to know any idea of the language. Or you can know a little bit and then you divide them in levels, or what do you do?
We have both, exactly. We have videos and classes, if I may say, for 100% beginners, and we have what we call in French faux débutants, false beginners, and they have their own videos and exercises.
Okay. And how do the levels progress? How do you initially group or assign each student to their level? Because I imagine with your theory, it's a bit different than the standard European A1, B2 listening, speaking
okay
shebang.
So we don't do it. They auto-assess themselves. And that's exactly the spirit of Fast and Fluent and language hacking. Because most of the things they'll be doing following our method is learning what they need to learn and not what a textbook is telling them to learn. So, for instance, we're going to teach them how to identify the vocabulary they need. I don't know if you know, but some linguists have identified that we only use a certain amount of words every day, every week, every month, okay? And those specific words, change depending on who you are, what you do every day. So we're going to help the people find those words and then learn those words. And the first 8 days of the method are learning new memorization techniques, learning how to auto-assess yourself, know what you need to learn in your language. And so they more or less do it by themselves. Obviously, each time they have a question, we're there to answer with great pleasure. But it's I like to say that some people like to learn and other people like to be taught. Well, the learners of Fast and Fluent are people who like to learn.
Huh. And how do you separate or distinguish between those comparisons? It sounds like an interesting theory.
Between the ones who like to learn and the ones who like to be taught. What I think some people understand that they will go way faster and they will be way more efficient if they take the time to think of what they really need and take the time to search and look for what they need in a language. Some people are lazy is not the word. Some people are less motivated or maybe, are more scared. I don't know. And so they're going to think that a teacher has the knowledge and is going to deliver it to them.
Sure.
And we often say to people, also with the method, you know, some clients come to us and tell us, okay, if I follow your method in 3 months, I'm going to speak fluently Italian. And we're always telling them, yeah, in 3 months you're going to speak fluently Italian, but only if you work and only if you do all the exercises we're telling you to do and only if you follow the methods. And obviously, if you have a question, we're there. But it's not gonna come from the sky and just enter your head. And a lot of people who like to be taught, I believe, have this philosophy. And learners understand that they need to go and get the knowledge.
And so how have you shared this theory, or how have you implanted this theory in France, where we all know that stereotype, the French don't like the language, the other language? What kind of reactions or comments or success have you had?
We have both. A lot of people, because the French are not good in languages and they need to learn English very fast, a lot of them have really like, I think, Fast and Fluent, because they understand that we're having a new approach to language learning and that the fact that the French are not that good is due to them, and it's also due to the system and the way they learn. So they see that as a breakthrough in the way we're going to learn languages. For other people, it's still new, and I think they need a little bit more time, and they need more proof, and they need to see that the method in the years is gonna bring results. So generally, it's pretty positive, but I think we need more time to feel that the whole French population, if I can say, has acknowledged the existence and the fact that Fast and Fluent works. Now we're really present on social media. Who isn't, right? Or okay, 2016, as much as Milingual does. That's, by the way, how I started to work with them. We're really present on social media. We often organize what we call in French des ateliers découvertes. How do you say that in English? Discovery
workshops.
Yeah, discovery workshops. And people come and we explain how language hacking works. We do a few exercises so people practice language hacking. We often use Farsi or Hebrew as a test language, you know. And that's how we spread the word.
And a bit about your experience and how you got here. What made you initially interested in languages? You grew up in a bilingual family. Can you elaborate on that? And then how you ended up with us here today and leading French Milinguals on Tuesday at La Bicicleta and Thursday in Area.
Okay. So I'm born in Paris. My mother's Moroccan and my father's Canadian from Toronto. So he's an Anglophone, not a Francophone.
Uh-huh.
So I grew up speaking English and French. And then that was good. And then I started learning German at school, but I was really bad, and I know nothing.
What?
Yeah, that's really true. And then I went to university, and I realized my English was a very family baby English, so I had to learn again English and professional English. And then I went to Jerusalem to work. Back then, I was a law student, and I worked in Jerusalem for that matter, and I learned Hebrew. And then it was actually the first time I was really learning a language, because English and French were my mother tongues, if I can say. And I really loved it. I loved it. So I decided to do more of that. And a few years later, I'm going to skip a few years who are not really interesting. I came to Spain. I started living in Spain because I wanted to learn Spanish. Fast and Fluent was going on. And I contacted Gabriel Passos, who is one of the founders of Milingual, because I wanted to partner up with him between Fast and Fluent and Milingual. And that's how I started working with Milingual, and that's how I started implementing the French classes on Tuesdays and Thursdays.
Very nice. Wow. And what was learning Hebrew like? You said it was the first time you learned a language, and from my minimal experience as a polyglot, it's very different from English, French, Spanish, Portuguese, Italian, that group of, you know, Latin, right. Germanic languages. How did you learn Hebrew? What did you find difficult when you were learning Hebrew? And what clicked right away, more or less? Do you remember?
Yeah, I do. What was difficult was conjugation, but I think it's for every language. I have a very hard time in Spanish too with that with that thing. Conjugation was really hard, but I loved the fact that it sounded nothing like what I knew before. I loved the fact that the first few months I couldn't say a word, and then I eventually, like, I could have conversation and I could understand TV programs. And people would sometimes ask me, oh, really? You're French? I didn't hear it. And that was so rewarding. And how did I learn it? I had classes with a teacher. That's how I started learning it. And then slowly but surely, I learned by myself. I completed my knowledge with what I needed, realizing that I knew some vocabulary or some grammar rules, but not others, and I focused on those.
Mm-hmm. So a combination of standard language classes and self-taught in situ learning and application.
What I call hacking.
What you call hacking.
Exactly.
And going back to your language hacking course, how does that work as a business? So you teach students online. Are there groups? Is there a structure? Is it a do what you want from the student's perspective in terms of commitment and time?
Okay, so it's a minimum 3-month program. Every day you connect on the platform and you have a video to watch. This video gives you a language hacking tip, gives you some vocabulary to learn, and also tells you to go on one of our language exchange partner platform to have a conversation with a native speaker.
Via the internet.
Via the internet. You're guided during this conversation, obviously, in order for you to learn as much as you can from this conversation. And that's it. Every day you need to follow the videos. Let's say that the method is in three parts. As I was saying, the first part is 8 days where you just learn learning techniques, organizational techniques. You test your motivation. You also set goals to evaluate your progress through the days and the weeks. Second phase, you only talk to people every day. You talk to people. You're guided through your conversation. Third phase, you deconstruct what you've learned using hacking, and that's when you're going to get in the hardcore grammar, if I can say that.
Mm-hmm.
Fourth phase, you specialize, and then you're going to specialize maybe in the vocabulary of your job. You're going to specialize in literature or whatever subject you like. Some people also want to improve pronunciation. Then it depends, and in all this process, you're guided each time you need. You can contact us through email. We always answer, or you can contact us by phone.
Hmm.
That's it.
And right now, I'm hearing a lot of similarities to Melingual's approach.
Yes.
Of conversation, topic-based learning, motivation. Students can come when they want, more or less, sign up for what they're interested in. Are you applying some of these phenomena to your Tuesday and Thursday French Melinguals?
Exactly. And that's why I wanted to work with Melinguals to start with. It's... during the conversation sessions in French or in English, which are given by Melingual, the most important thing is that you have the real experience of learning a language. It's not just in a book. You really feel you really feel what it is to speak in a foreign language. You need to express yourself. Moreover, you have a topic, and even if you didn't prepare it, you need to think fast. You don't have the time to base yourself on grammar rules. You need to understand the situation that is going on around you and interact in this situation with a new language. And I believe that's the best way ever to learn. That's what you have to start with. From that, you're going to see what is difficult, what is easy for you. And then when you're going to get in a more study part, when you go out of the Melingual sessions, then you focus on whatever grammar rule was complicated for you when you were talking. But you need to start with this conversation.
Hmm.
That's the basis.
Very interesting. I definitely agree with a lot of your perspectives and ideas of the importance of applied conversation to find yourself in the most spontaneous situation that you can, albeit slightly forced. Mm-hmm. Here we are in Madrid, working on improving or sharing or learning English and French and other languages. So it's hard at times to find that full immersion. But I definitely agree with that theory. And I'm wondering, as someone who speaks a lot of different languages and uses them all the time, do you find yourself confusing languages? Or when you're speaking in French, suddenly the word only comes up in Hebrew or a certain phrase?
French and English are my strongest languages, so it's easier in those languages. That being said, sometimes in English you have words that don't exist in French and the contrary, so sometimes I'm going to do un anglicisme, as
yeah.
We say in French. I mix a bit of Hebrew and a bit of Spanish because they're my weakest languages. It's been a long time I haven't spoken English, Hebrew.
Mm-mm.
So when people speak to me, I understand, but when I try to answer, it's I speak in Spanish most of the time. So I need a bit of refreshment.
Sure. Yeah. Getting a little rusty.
Exactly.
And what do you think about the idea of Esperanto? There's sort of, it's a two-sided question almost. Perhaps one of them is the importance or the implementation of a universal language that could be used by everyone, and sort of the contrary of using one language and potentially, theoretically, nothing in practice yet, disvaluing the importance of smaller languages or different languages?
It's a hard question. I don't speak Esperanto. I have no plan of learning it right
nor
now.
Nor do I.
Okay. If ever we arrive to a world where people would only speak Esperanto, that would be really sad. But I don't think that's the plan of people who speak Esperanto. I don't know. I think it's just this other language in some way. I think it's really cool that some people all over the world speak the same language, which is from no country, really. I just think that it used to be part of a political ideology and a political plan. I have no, really? I have no answer. I don't know if it's good or bad. I just think it's a fact.
Sure.
If you're interested, just learn it. If you're not, forget about it. You know, I'm sorry, I have no really direct idea on the subject. Maybe someday at Milingual we'll have Esperanto conversation group. Nobody knows, you know.
And I also saw that you're involved in coaching. Are you coaching in languages or personal coaching or self improvement, self help? How does that link in with all of your language stuff?
I'm not a coach. What I do is that I work for or work with an organization called Coach Around the World, and there are coaches who've decided to coach people with low income or association or young entrepreneurs who don't necessarily have the means to have access to professional coaches, because I don't know if you know, but coaches who intervene in companies or with high level manager are paid a little fortune. So
a small fortune or a large fortune?
So the idea of the association or the organization is to provide coaching to people who don't necessarily have the means. My job in that is logistic and coordination of the coaching missions. So I have, let's say, the association or the young entrepreneur, and I have the coach on the other side, and I organize the fact that they coach them. The link with languages is I believe that the way we teach or we learn languages as much in Fast and Fluent as in Milingual is kind of a coaching approach. Is learn what you need, do what you need to be efficient, forget about the rest, and do it live. I'm going to give you an example. In coaching, when someone asks us, what would happen if, we always answer, I don't know, I don't see future. Just do it, and then we'll talk about it. And that's the kind of philosophy I also apply in language. I'm afraid of going and to a conversation group and speaking because I don't speak. Maybe I won't be able to express myself. Maybe I will make a fool of myself. Well, just go, do it, and then we'll talk about it. So I don't really apply languages in coaching, even if the organization has an international level. So sometimes I need to speak in other languages, but I apply the coaching techniques in the way I teach languages. That's it. And if I may, I believe that, you know, when I was saying some are learners, some are like to learn, some like to be taught. You see that in the Milingual groups. Some people are going to speak a lot and are going to be very into the conversation. And those people are taking advantage of the moment to learn. Some people are more shy, which is okay. And maybe they're going to like smaller groups. And they're often going to wait for you to tell them how this and this is going to be said. But I believe that you learn, you know, like children, when they start walking, they fall once, twice, 15 times, and then eventually they stop falling. And that's not really true because we still fall as adults. That still means that we don't know 100% how to walk.
We trip over our own feet.
Exactly. But that's kind of the system. And I think that the Milingual groups, and for the English and now for the French, are the perfect place to do that. Nobody's going to judge you. Everybody's here to learn. It's a perfect place to trip and therefore to learn.
And to get back up, to jump back up.
Exactly.
Wow. And this coaching aspect, you said it has an international focus in some sense. Is it based in France, or How have you gotten involved with this, and how are you doing that while you're in Madrid?
So it's based in France to start with. It's actually now it's a federation composed of different organizations. The federation is based in Paris. The organizations are in Paris, in southern France, in Tunisia. One is maybe soon going to be open in Berlin. We're hoping also the Netherlands. And I'm dealing with that because I often go back to Paris, and because we have internet. And internet allows you to do a lot of stuff from far away.
Sure.
That's it.
But the coaching is not really in Spain yet. You're physically in Spain and
Yeah, we wish to open an antenna in Spain. We haven't done so yet. I've been in contact with a few Spanish coaches. The truth is that the creation of a new antenna is always very long. So we're discussing with Spanish coaches who would be interested. I hope next time I'll come, I can tell you. Yeah, contact them. They're at this address.
And have you spread the language hacking in Spain yet? Have you gathered... If I understood you correctly, right now most of the material is set up for people who speak French and are learning another language. Do you have any material set up for those who speak Spanish or English and want to learn another language?
Right. So for the moment, it is in French for people trying to learn other languages. We're currently translating the material into English. It's also part of our plan to translate it into Spanish. Unfortunately, and that's one of my biggest, I don't know how to say that, sadness. It's not yet ready in Spanish, and I would love to be able to have Spanish students, but we haven't yet. That being said, Spanish students, you can learn French and English at Milingual every Tuesday and every Thursday at Area Chill Out and at La Bicicleta. So you can do that. Okay, Fast and Fluent is not there yet, but you have Milingual.
And you have Joanna.
And you have Joanna.
And that sounds great. I mean, you've done so much and you've created so many different opportunities, and it's quite interesting to hear about this language hacking phenomenon. I'm curious to try it out. And how many languages for a French speaker, how many languages do you currently have available?
So all, because once again, this is not a language method. It's not a Spanish learning method. It's not an English learning method. It's a language learning method. What we're teaching you is a methodology of how to learn any language, of how to deduct from any sentences the patterns you see of a certain language. Okay? And since we're partnering with big platforms who have native speakers of all languages always connected on the internet, you can practice any language. That being said, obviously our users have preferences, and most of our users are now trying to learn languages such as English, Spanish, Italian, German. I said a bit of Greek. We have no students trying to learn Esperanto. We have no students trying to learn Quechua, for instance. Hopefully, I really wish someday it's going to happen, but those are languages which are actually less asked for, but for which Fast and Fluent is the perfect tool. Because when you're trying to learn Quechua, for instance, you don't have much material. You don't have much textbooks. So you have, now with Fast and Fluent, you have a language learning method which applies to all. So hopefully in a few years, I hope we're going to have people learning, I don't know, yeah, Quechua, Esperanto.
Bahasi or
exactly.
Swahili,
yeah.
Whatever it may be.
That sounds great.
Well, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thanks to you.
And sharing your experience and your French Milinguals on Tuesday at La Bicicleta at 8:30, comme toujours, like
exactly.
Always, and Thursday at Area at 8:30. And definitely, if you're interested in signing up, you can visit the website milingual.com. We're always looking for more guests, so feel free to join us next week with another interesting visitor. And again, Joanna, thank you so much for participating, and Noemi for joining us today. And if the listeners out there are interested in practicing English, you can visit milingual.com and join us next week live on the radio. Don't forget to follow us at Onda Mujer and Milingual Spain and Fast and Fluent on Twitter and Facebook. Au revoir, adios, litraot, goodbye. Simpatía no está pounding, no por polvos de reason, golden living dreams or visions, Mr. Crystal Liberation, and the mind is to liberation.